Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Jenny Hubby on the Concierge Coaches Show, and today is Monday, January 29th, believe it or not, and it's 2 p.m. Central Time, which is where we are today. And Bruce Cameron will be joining us soon, getting just landing from Zurich. And we're super, super excited to have Victor Ornelas on. And it's Ornelas. Is that right, Victor?
Ornelas.
Okay, good. Great. Awesome. I always, when I look at your name, I think Ornelas, so be sure to correct me. I want to make sure I say it right. We're so excited to have you today. And I just want to do a quick intro about you and what I know about you for the listening audience, because some of this, I don't know you real well yet. I want to get to know you better. What I do know about you, you probably wouldn't brag about. So I want to do a little bit of bragging. And looking forward to Bruce joining us, because I know he'll want to ask some great questions of you. He's excited to be able to join us today as well, because we were thinking he might not make it at all. So super exciting. So Victor Ornelas, did I say it right?
Excellent.
Awesome. So we met through Lynn Dunlap Regan, who is a fellow professional coach in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And she brought you in, and just to explain to our listening audience, she brought you in on a meeting that we had for a nonprofit organization that of which I'm on the board. And so you came all the way up to Flower Mound, which is Northwest Dallas, Fort Worth area, from Dallas, came up to my home office. And that means a lot for you to take time to drive across town to meet with a nonprofit and do pro bono work. So I was already impressed with that. And then what I recall about our meeting is your listening skills, how you listened to the founder of the organization, listened to me, and you really, I noticed, especially toward the beginning of the meeting, because it was several hour meeting, you didn't say a lot. You asked real pointed questions, real powerful questions, and when you talked, it was powerful, I have to say. It was really, you really got to the point on what we needed and what we needed to do in order to reach the results that we wanted. So that's what I know about you. And then reading about your background, seeing your website, it's just very, very impressive. You have a unique background, which I'm sure is a big part of your success is the variety that you have and the diversity that you have in your background. So let's start with, first of all, welcome, Victor.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here with you and Bruce.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So what I'd like to start with is if you would, I'd love to hear what happened that led you down the path of the entrepreneurship in coaching and consulting. So talk about that a little bit.
Okay, I will. First, though, I'd like to tell a funny story about listening, because that's, as you well know, since you also a certified coach with the International Coach Federation, that's probably the most important skill a coach has to have is listening, and it's not just listening for the words; it's listening for the feelings and emotions behind those words too.
Yes,
and so I recall I was referred to another executive director of a nonprofit. This was a few years back, and by a fellow client, probably one of my clients, and he was doing some work for her, some design work. When she found out from him that he was working with me, and had a coach, that she said, "Oh, may I meet him? Can you refer him to me?" And he said, "Absolutely." So we met, and up in Plano, where near where her office was, and she was she was very distraught. She has a lot of strong emotions around her role. She had not been in the position very long, first experience in nonprofit. And so several times during the conversation, she broke into tears and was very emotional. And I don't remember saying much, if anything at all, until the very end. And at the very end, she said, "Oh my God, Victor, you are such a great coach." and I really didn't, and I was thinking to myself, I haven't said a word. I was just there for her. She just needed someone to be there with her at that moment and just to be heard. That's what she wanted to do, is be heard. So sometimes, so often, it's not what anything we say. It's just that we're there where our clients are, and that we meet our clients where they are. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, that's an essence of coaching and effective coaching. So back then, I always
that's great
telling that question. I was like, yeah, thought I was a wonderful coach because I was there.
Anyway,
back to my, I started my entrepreneurial career back in 1988. Do you want me to start briefly there?
Yes, that'd be great. I read about the advertising agency. Yeah,
so it was very fortunate that, I spent 13 years in corporate America working for, three great companies, Levi Strauss, and each of them different, of course, because they all have their own unique cultures. Levi Strauss, I would define as the big, the very large family company. I mean, they treated, it was, even though it was a publicly traded company, and that was when Levi's was in their heyday, between when I was there, it was 75 to the end of 81. But the two of the brothers that were descendants of actually Levi Strauss, third, fourth generation, were the CEO and the president respectively, but they treated everybody like family. Everybody was a very family environment, even though it was a very big company. Then I ended up very fortuitously landing a position with Anheuser-Busch. Talk about a very driven, powerful marketing machine.
I can imagine.
It was amazing. Yes, yeah. And the learning experience. And again, they treated people, a different environment. It was not as family friendly, but still it was a great company. Of course, legendary brands. And at that point in time, Anheuser-Busch at their peak. And I learned so much about marketing at that point. And then I left there because I really had a vision back in 1988 of 86, 87, towards my latter years at Anheuser-Busch, there were hardly any Hispanic advertising agencies in the country. And that's what I was in charge of for AB. Anheuser-Busch was Hispanic marketing. And it was actually the first corporate Hispanic marketing program in the country. So I saw an opportunity, but I didn't know how to really harvest that opportunity and harness that opportunity. So I thought if I could get back to Dallas, or Texas in the Southwest, I figured it out. And so I took a position fully intending for it to be more permanent than temporary, but as it turned out, it was more temporary, was with 7-Up as a director of retail promotions. And it was during that tenure there that the opportunity came to launch my own advertising. So I launched this Ornelas & Associates. We were one of the first Hispanic advertising. We were the first Hispanic advertising agency in Dallas-Fort Worth. And then one of the first in the country. So we had a good run from 1980 to 2005. And in 2005, we, like all agencies, you have the highest peaks and the lowest valleys. And we reached one of the lowest valleys where we lost some blue chip clients, and just it was becoming more and more competitive in that space. And I'll be honest, the wind had left my sails. I just didn't have the energy left anymore to pursue that kind of career. And so we transitioned out of the agency business. I had did a short-term stint, as it turns out, didn't intend it to be short-term, but because of the meltdown of the economy in 2008, it was short-term because there was a golf instruction franchise. And I became the second franchisee that this company ever signed up. So there was really no other franchisees previous to me to talk to or even learn from and interview. So I went all in, as I was apt to do, and which I you know, and maybe a little too all in, a little too eager to grow it very quickly. I built 5 stores in a 3-year period, which was,
wow.
I look back on it. I can't believe I did it. I keep saying, was that really me that did that? 4 stores in Los Angeles and a store in Sacramento.
Wow.
And I built 3 stores in a year. And again, a lot of folks experienced the same, a very similar experience. In 2008,
yes.
I finished my 3rd store, and we all know what happened in the last.
Oh, yes. I remember it well.
So I ended up having to close, well, actually fire sailed. I mean, literally sold the stores back to the franchisor just for, you know, pennies on the dollar, and took a big licking financially.
Mm-hmm.
And came back to Dallas from L.A., where we, you know, our residents had been for, you know, we always kept our permanent residence in Texas, always wanted to. There's always home for us. And so when I got back, I called on a woman that had been a mentor to me. We had actually were, when we started our agency about a year out after we started agency, we hired her. We were her first client when she left IBM and training development and hung out her own shingle. And we hired her to help us and work with us as a coach, as a consultant over the years.
Oh.
And so I went to see her.
Yeah.
And I said, Linda, I'm at a crossroads. Don't want to retire. Don't believe in retirement. And I still don't. I want to stay active. I want to do something. I don't know what it is, but I know it has to be around serving others. That's my purpose now. It's around serving others. I've taken a major whipping economically, financially, and morally.
You've seen the highs and the lows, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. And so I said, so I need to rebuild, reinvent myself, and I'm just at a loss. I don't know. I know what I don't want to do. Things that I've done previously, I'm not really excited about going back to those, but I don't. And so she was, I said, how is your business? And she said, well, training development, totally dried up, Victor, because, you know, at that point in time, companies were letting people go in mass, as we all remember.
Right. They weren't expanding and training and developing at the time. No,
they were letting people go. But she said she was doing outplacement coaching. And I said, that's really intriguing. And I go, but the coaching part, I mean, the outplacement, I understand, you know, but because so many people really let go, and you're helping them find their next opportunity. And said, yes. And but coaching. So that just started. That was like the light bulb went off. And so I started looking around. I went to, you know, UTD, University of Texas, Dallas, and they have a coach training program, as I'm sure you know, Jenny.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a great and wonderful program, but it was all remote learning. And again, this is 2009. Remote learning was just starting to gain traction, and I wasn't ready for it. I said, I need more of a hands-on interpersonal experience. I'm fine with some, you know, remote learning, but not
sure.
All. So I literally went on the International Coach Federation website and found a program, just saw it. I called them and started talking to them. It was a really unique model. It was all about energy leadership, and that just so intrigued me.
Wow.
And it's the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. So I talked to, it turns out she later, within 6 months, became the wife of the founder.
Oh, wow.
She's been working there. And so I signed up for their program, and it was, you know, both a mix of in-person 3-day seminars.
Mm-hmm.
There was 4 3-day seminars over a 10-month period. And then you had a lot of, you know, peer coaching, mentor coaching, some webinars, some teleseminars that you do to fulfill your requirements, over 150 training hours, which is, you know, a lot of training hours.
Yes.
You don't even need that many to get ICF certified. But so that's what started it. And I, even after my very first seminar, I just felt that from my business experience, and one of the passion, and it still is, and I've expanded beyond that in terms of the type of people I coach, but it was coaching other entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I started. And it was a friend called me one day and said that a colleague of hers at her place of employment, her husband was having a real tough time at a picture framing operation here in Dallas. And, you know, she had asked if she knew anybody could help him. And so she said, well, I know a coach. And And so I connected with Mark, and we had a, he was my very first client. And, you know, together over the next 2 years, he was able to turn his business from about to close the doors into taking it up to a whole new level. And even during at that point in time,
wow,
before we were in the midst of the downturn. So that was my, my very first coaching client, and it started building from there. So today, in addition to working with entrepreneurs and being a business coach, I'm also an executive coach. I've worked with several executives in leadership development and building high-performing teams and emotional intelligence, you name it. You know, I help, I guess the best way I like to sum up in terms of my work with my executives is it's more about helping them get out of their own way than anything else.
Isn't that leadership is getting out of our own
way? Exactly.
Right.
And then in the last year, I've been working part-time with a firm named Lee Hecht Harrison. And it's ironic. It goes back to that when I was meeting with Linda, my, you know, the woman that was my mentor that kind of guided me. She was doing outplacement coaching at the time. Well, that's what Lee Hecht Harrison does, outplacement counseling and support. So I started working for them part-time as a career consultant and coach just a year ago. And so I've been doing that. And that's how I met Lynn, actually. Lynn was one of my clients going through the program.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so that's the three hats I wear as a coach, as an executive coach, as a business coach, coaching entrepreneurs and small, medium enterprise space, and then as a career coach.
So the common thread then in all of your coaching sounds like energy, in a sense, like where are they putting their energy and where is their energy coming from? Because you talk, I know you talk a lot about vision. I love that. I love that your career, that you had a vision for your career and a vision for coaching, and you even know your purpose, which is really cool because that was one question I was going to ask. So if you go back to talk a little bit about vision and how you work with executives and with entrepreneurs on that.
You're right, Jenny, and it's when a lot of folks ask me, well, what kind of coach are you? A life coach? And I go, yes, and yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because we have one life. I mean, we have we have different areas of our life.
Yeah.
You know, different, we have personal goals, we have professional goals. So I'm coaching the whole person.
That's wonderful.
So it does start with a vision. It starts with, you know, and if you don't have a vision, it's like, you know, I ask, you know, folks, okay, so if you don't have a destination, right, you just get in a car, you can drive around forever. You have a destination, anywhere will take you there. And so that's why a vision is so important. That is your destination. What is your destination? And every one of my clients, I start with, first, I want you to write this date. And for example, a client this morning, we had a coaching session. I said, will you please write down today's date? And she did. She wrote down, you know, January 29th. And I said, before you finish the year, I want you to write January 29th, 2019. She says, well, that's a year from today. I go, exactly. I go, so this is your assignment. I want you to go home or back to the office, find a very quiet space, and I want you to write exactly what you want your life to look like this year in every aspect, in 3D.
Yeah.
And ask for everything you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and she says, everything? I go, exactly everything. You know, professionally, where do you want to be? And write it like it already happened. I go, that's the power of a vision. And I go, when we have a powerful vision, it will pull us.
Mm-hmm.
It'll attract us. And then out of your vision will come your goals. So, yes, I'm a very big believer in vision. And then I ask them, and then after you've done the 1 year, now do 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 years. Now, 1 year, usually you can be a little bit more focused and you can see it a little clearer. 3 years starts to get a little foggy, and even 5 years. But still, I think it's definitely worth the exercise. And, you know, I remember I did it when I first went to my, you know, the first phase of my coach training program. And then I pulled it out not too long ago. And I go, oh, wow. Man, that 5 years was, you know, now 4 years ago, I hit that 5-year mark.
Isn't that great?
Fascinating. Yes.
It is fascinating.
Yeah. And what I achieved, and that there was several elements of my vision, several goals I had set for myself, personally, professionally, that I did hit because I had that vision of that destination.
There is something very mysterious about that. At the same time, we know that, you know, when we write our goals down, we typically actually do achieve them. But there's also something very mysterious about that to me, just like there is something tactical and strategic, because I did the same thing when I started coaching with my coach as a client. 8 years ago, I wrote down my goal, which was to be a coach one day. And when I started my business, I looked back at my notes. I just happened to have my notes from starting my coaching. I had my whole binder, and I read that, and it just gave me chills, because it's not like for 8 years I focused on that every day, but I wrote it down, and what I was doing was intentionally working toward that by working on myself and growing and being aware of what I was doing to make my life better and make it the way I wanted it. It's powerful. The vision is powerful, and writing the goals down. And I just can't say enough about that. And so I love that you're bringing that into the business world and helping executives and helping leaders see that it really starts from within. Our leadership starts from within.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm not believe me, I know just enough to be dangerous around neuroscience, but there's so much, you know, being learned about the way we can rewire our brains at any age.
Yeah.
You know, and that's part of it. We're rewiring those, you know, neural paths so that when we, you know, really focus, and as you said, write it down. I share with folks, I said, if it's not written down, it doesn't exist.
Right.
So you can have, you know, all these goals, and everyone's heard about that, you know, Harvard Business School study where, you know, 84% of the graduates, they tracked them 10 years later of Harvard Business School, which, you know, arguably, Harvard and Stanford, the two best business schools in the world, 84%, you know, had not written down their goals, or didn't have any goals, excuse me, didn't have any goals. I think it was, you know, about 16% did have goals, but they didn't write them down. And then, you know, the 10% left, you know, they did, I'm sorry, 13% had goals and write them down. And then the 4% did write down their goals. And they said the ones that had goals but didn't write them down were earning twice as much as the graduates that didn't have goals. And then the ones that had goals and wrote them down were earning 10 times as much 10 years later as the ones that didn't have goals. So again, that's...
So you don't have to be smart to be successful.
Exactly.
Well, that's for sure. That's powerful too. That's great. So I noticed too on your website, Energy Golf, and now I understand a little bit more about that when you talked about your history in business. And so I'd love to hear more about the Energy Golf for me and all of our listening audience, because that's a bucket list thing for me, is just to say that I'm a golfer, not a great golfer, but just to say I'm a golfer. I'd love to say that one day. So tell us more about that.
Well, and again, it's just an extension of the whole energy leadership model. And the energy leadership model, I'll just try to keep it short and sweet, is it's all about, if you looked at physiologically at us at the most minute level, you know, we're, you know, and at the cellular level, we're, you know, it's all energy and some DNA. And so when I share that with folks, everybody nods their heads. Says, oh, yeah, I agree. So that's why our energy is so important. That's what really drives us. And when we have positive, or what we call anabolic energy, positive thoughts, then as a result, positive emotions and feelings, and then positive actions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then what we literally do, what our bodies do, is we we generate both testosterone, well, we generate testosterone, which then we need to rebuild cells and tissue. When we have negative energy, and any time we either A, feel like a victim, or B, are a conflict, you know, the victim mode is the feeling of, or the thought is, I lose. Mm-hmm. And the feeling is apathy, and the action is lethargy. So anytime we feel like that, and we all do that, you know, at some point in time, it could be every day you could feel like that, but it's really our choice. And that's what we don't always realize. We have a choice in the thought we have around any given situation. So, and then whether it's that or a conflict, which is a you lose, which we see it's so predominant in the workplace, well, in the world, you know, you lose frame of reference, then that's, anger is the feeling and emotion. Defiance is the action. So those two levels of energy are catabolic and negative energy. What we physically do is we literally create cortisol, which is the stress hormone, and adrenaline. And adrenaline, which would generally only serve you in a fight or flight situation. Well, by generating those two hormones, creating those two hormones in our bodies with that negative energy, it literally breaks down our cells and tissue. And that's why, you know, so many folks get ill, physically ill because of that. So the whole energy leadership model is how to change those thoughts that create that negative energy into more positive thoughts that create more positive energy. And, you know, there's five other levels you can take your energy. One is I win, where you rationalize others' behavior, but you want to get a win for yourself, but if others win, great. Or a little higher is level four, which is the level of concern or service to others, where the whole focus is around, in essence, others win, you win. Or the next step higher is win-win, which is any situation you're involved in where you look at every element of that situation as an opportunity. And then when you truly take it to the highest levels, it's either synthesis, which is in essence, there's winning is an illusion, you know, and really a game that we all created, the humans have created to play the game of life, the way, you know, the rules of the game of life. But its synthesis is where we tap into our intuition and our wisdom and freely share it. And then the highest level is those moments in time. And generally, if we think about any time we were just had this spark of creative brilliance, we were in the, we call it in the flow, you know, anytime we're in the flow, that was when we were at level seven, non-judgmental. And that's where we had just absolute passion about what we were doing and the moment again of creative brilliance. So as part of my coaching practice, we have an assessment that will measure where your energy is at that point in time. When you take that assessment, it's not a predictor. It's just a snapshot in time of where your energy is at each of those seven levels. And then that's one graph you see. Then it shows what happens when you're under stress and how your energy shifts. No surprise. You know, the energy shifts down to the first two levels. And so and taking a client to, which I just did this morning, it took one of my clients, a new client, to the assessment and said, at the end of the day, you have the power to change your energy. You have the power to shift your energy in any given situation from one to seven, you choose.
So how is it that you, I'm hearing you loud and clear. So how do you incorporate that throughout coaching with your clients? I mean, do you do like regular assessment with them? Is it an onboarding assessment?
So I usually do it up front, and I want to come back to the golf story too. I mean, the golf connection.
Yeah.
Well, let me go back to golf right now. So, you know, the gift I had from that very harsh experience with that golf instruction franchise was that I became a certified golf instructor. I didn't start playing golf till I was in my late 40s.
So there's hope.
Exactly. Where there's hope, there's life, as my wife said.
That's right.
But I became so enamored with the game. It started out, I played college football, I played college baseball, so I'd always been, you know, an athlete. Mm-hmm. And I thought I had, particularly baseball, pretty good hand-eye coordination. But when I started playing the game of golf, totally different.
challenging.
Most golfers will tell you, right? And you know, Jenny, as a golfer, you know, it's very challenging. But at the end of the day, I truly believe that it's 99% mental, the game of golf. It is so mental, right?
I totally agree.
And Yep, and there's 1,000 books have been written on the mental side of the game, right?
Yeah.
So after going through this golf experience, I learned all, you know, how to teach golf, all the fundamental principles of golf. And, you know, and so then when I went to the energy leadership model and the certificate as a coach, I go, wow, the two together is very powerful. And so you'll see that, you know, in any, the top pros in the world, that there's the only difference between, generally between any of them, because they're all so good, they're all so skilled, they all hit the ball so well, and their short game is impeccable. It's that mental attitude, and it's that moment in time, you know, where there's a mental breakdown, that's what determines one wins and one loses. Mm. And so that's where the energy golf is about, is how to tie into, how to, you know, again, you know, how to generate, so any given situation, so if you hit, we all hit a bad shot, you know, you have 7 different ways to look at that as anything else. From the lowest, oh, woe is me, to the highest is, wow, I think I just learned something.
Right. So, you can go from, wow, I'm a terrible golfer, to, hey, I think I just figured out what not to do.
Exactly. That's more, I think it's more of that than anything else, is what not to do.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen the latest Star Wars movie. There's The Last Jedi, and it's precious. So Yoda comes. I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it. I'll just tell you this one part. Yoda comes back. Yoda is seen again, talking to Luke Skywalker, and Yoda says, "Failure is the best teacher of all."
Ah. And oh, I hate that sometimes, but it's true.
That is so true.
It is.
And as Winston Churchill once said, success is not final and failure is not fatal.
That's true.
And I truly try to live up to that.
Agreed.
So how do I use assessment? Yes, I do. I use it for every single client. It's part of the package I provide them. And what they take it right up front. And so I did, because I believe it's such an important tool, and whether an executive, whether an entrepreneur, whether they're in midst of a major career transition looking for their next opportunity. So, you know, so I offer it to all three of my types of clients, and they take it at the beginning. And then usually I, with the exception of the career coaching, that's already, that's through Leah Terrison. They have their programs generally run from 1 to 3 months. So that's a different model. And but all of my other clients with executive or business coaching, I require a 6-month engagement, a minimum 6 months, because I really believe that they will not achieve the results they want to achieve in less than that time. And it's bi-weekly. So every other week we'll have a coaching session, 2 coaching sessions. And so we'll take the assessment at the beginning and we'll take it at the 6-month mark. And if they want to extend, you know, we definitely extend. So yeah, really they can see the results. And there's an element now where we can, you know, they've developed the coach training program, went through IPEC now, has developed where you can actually measure the results in any aspect of your life. It was time management, it's productivity, it's you name it, career enhancement, or career satisfaction. You know, you can measure the results and the change in the results as well.
That's awesome. So I have a question. I have a coaching question for you.
Sure.
Ready?
Hope I can answer it.
I know. So tell us, you know, tell the audience where you see your business next year, January 29th, 2019. And I think that will help us know whom to refer to you, like who your best clients will be this year.
Absolutely. Definitely more growth in both my executive coaching clients. So definitely working, you know, I actually set a specific goal of working with at least 10 executives this year.
Okay.
In my executive coaching practice.
Okay.
And then I'll be working with at least, if not more, 20 business coaching clients.
Okay.
So I have the capacity to do that. So that's why I see it's a good mix of you know, a boat. You know, executive coaching clients, there's probably, it truly is a smaller universe and much more competitive too, because you have a lot of big, you know, names, you know, like, I won't even name my competitors in that space, but, you know, some big firms that are in that space, you know, mm-hmm. usual names and executive coaching. And then, so, you know, that's a tough field to break into, but I want to really focus on the mid-size market, because there's plenty of companies, you know, at 500 million that definitely have executive coaching needs that I can help, you know, that I can provide support to them and helping them, you know, build a stronger leadership team. And the one tool that I really want to, you know, definitely engage more clients around is the high-performing team model, which was really comes from Patrick Lencioni. He has a group called the Table Group, and he built the whole model, which I totally subscribe to and have really found a very powerful tool to use. And I've used it with several teams, both major corporate teams at Ernst & Young, global 360 account teams, working, you know, teams that worked on accounts like Ford, FedEx, Eli Lilly. And then I've also used it with some of my entrepreneurial clients, and they truly can see a change in the organization, a change in the leadership, total leadership, not just the top leadership, but, you know, the leadership team, and how it then, mm-hmm. you know, cascades down from there. So I want to definitely start employing and utilizing that model, because I really see definitely a need for it. But I see a greater interest in building high-performing teams as well.
And, you know, focusing on that middle market, those are the companies, the up-and-coming companies. So it does give you a chance to help others and help them become, you know, hit their greatest potential. Where do they want to be a year from now, 5 years, 10 years? So I love that you have that opportunity to make that impact. And so something else I wanted to ask you about, Victor, how do you like talk a little bit about coaching and consulting? Because, you know, in our community, in our world today, we talk about both. We talk about therapy, coaching, consulting, and we've had some therapists on the program that are also coaches, and they've talked about the difference in therapy and coaching. We really haven't talked a lot about the consulting and coaching, like how you integrate that. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and I guess anytime, you know, there's a famous book called Flawless Consulting. And in essence, the theme of the book, or, you know, the overall principle is, unless you truly, even if you're within a corporation, a major corporation, have a, you know, role, that unless you have line responsibility or you're an individual contributor, you truly are a consultant, you know, because you're serving others, you're helping others. So
true.
Yeah. So there's, you know, it's a kind of a very gray area, I think, between coaching and consulting. But I guess the way I define it is, you know, as a coach, we do share information. But as you well know, Jenny, we're not there to give advice, you know, because, you know, it's really about our clients. And we, again, meeting where they are. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe in it, and they may not recognize it at the time, but they have all the answers are locked up inside.
Yes.
So how do we help them unlock?
Unlock that, right? Yeah. Yeah.
And again, it comes back to that energy leadership model. So when you're in a, you know, you're in a victim mode or you're in conflict mode, you can't see the forest for the trees.
That's right.
You're not really open to new ideas, new thoughts. You're just all about the blame game and
that survival mode, like you said, the fight or flight.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So, but once you can elevate your energy and you start to open it up, and you have a coach that's there to really help facilitate that and, you know, and asking powerful questions, you know, and open-ended questions, of course, you know, not giving advice, you mm-hmm. know, but just let, you know, helping them. But you got to, again, you know, kind of be a bit of a guide as well. So it's a, you know, that's to me the major difference between a consultant where than a and while I do share information, that's always our out, right? We can't give advice, we can share information as a coach. But as a consultant, most consultants, and believe me, when I had, I think back to my advertising agency days, I was a big believer in bringing in consultants, these experts, you know, and financial consultants who come in and talk to us about, you know, looking at, you know, our, you know, where we were financially and where we should be. And because I knew they were working with, you know, other ad agencies and larger agencies to give us that frame of reference. But again, they were giving advice. It was their way. It wasn't my way. It was their way. And they weren't really there to help me find my way.
Right.
And I always felt a little wanting, you know, after I, you know, paid them a lot of money and they went home and I said, okay, but what have I really achieved? You know, I think I'm back, you know, I've gone the whole way around and I've come back to, you know, the same places where I started from. Yeah. So whereas a coach, ideally, we're helping the client along their path, you know, their defined path.
You got their answers, but what about your answers, your way?
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. So it sounds like you kind of, you really, the platform that you stand, or the principles you stand on, are coaching principles. And then at times you might take the coaching hat off and put the consulting hat on, if you will, and talk about some experiences you've had or some examples, that sort of thing. You might give some feedback, give some, offer some ideas.
Exactly. Now, in the career consulting I'm doing, we, you know, the first step is to help our clients develop their, really develop their personal brand, their professional brand, and that starts with the resume, right? Everybody has to have a resume. Mm-hmm. So we will give them, and again, that's because I'm, you know, following the Lehek Harrison model and using, you know, their procedures and processes. So they're, we're very, you know, very
you're consulting, about, because you're offering templates.
During my consulting, I'll take my hat off. And so, for example, I do this seminar called The Road to Entrepreneurship, because when a client comes into Lehek Harrison, they can choose a goal, you know, one of multiple goals. They can pursue multiple goals at any one time, but they could choose to, you know, I'm looking for, you know, I'm a software engineer. I'm looking for you know, the same position with another technology company. Or, you know, I may want to change careers, but I still want to work for a major corporation. And then we get several clients that come in and said, you know what, I think I want to really, I want to become an entrepreneur. You know, I've been, that, just like I did back in 1988, you know, I had this itch, I needed a scratch. I said, I need to just try it to see if that's truly my destiny, is to become an entrepreneur. And so we, I will coach folks through that. And so I, we just had, I taught a, I do a seminar called The Road to Entrepreneurship. There, it's a little bit of consulting, but a lot of coaching, because everyone in that room, there's 16 in our last session, everyone is a different place in terms of what, whether they, A, want to start a business, B, want to be a franchisee, C, want to buy a business, or D would be, you know, to purchase a business. You know, so or be, or, you know, to start a business, it could be an independent consulting as well. So they have four different paths they can follow. I tell them, I've done three of the four. I haven't purchased a business yet, but I've, I'm now an independent coach and consultant. I was a franchisee at one point in my career, and I've also started a business.
I know. I know. I think it's wonderful, the variety that you've had, and, We're about to wrap up, and what I want to do is, for those listeners that might want to hire you to become a better golfer, a great leader, greater leaders, either in the executive or the entrepreneurship, tell us how the best way to get a hold of you, because I'm on for the golfing. So tell us how to get a hold of you.
www.ornelas.com is my website, my URL. And but you can also just send me an email directly to victor@ornelas.com, O-R-N-E-L-A-S.
Excellent. Excellent. So I looked over your website. It's really, it's great. Your brand is excellent. I get what you do, where you're coming from. I see your background. And so it's obvious you practice what you preach when it comes to the coaching and consulting. And Bruce is going to be so disappointed that he didn't get to talk to you. So I'll put you on the spot and ask if you come back on. We would love to have you back on sometime, Victor.
Absolutely. I'd be delighted to.
Awesome.
It's been fun. Really enjoyed it.
It has been. We only scratched the surface, I feel like. So I just appreciate everything you do, the pro bono, the professional work, and keep up the great work. And thanks for joining the show today. And folks, thank you for listening in. And I will say that Bruce Cameron will be on back with us next week, and you can reach him at conciergecoaches.net. And you can reach me at jhubconsulting.com, and that's jhubconsulting.com. With that, we'll sign out. Victor, hope we'll get a rerun with you.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.